To read only two verses today, verses 16 and 17 of Romans chapter number 1. And if you're able, let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning. Romans chapter number 1, verses 16 and 17. By the way, we love Him because He first loved us. And I'm thankful today. Paul is writing from Corinth. He wants to get to Rome really bad. He's heard since the day of Pentecost and that great dispersion of Christians, they went into Rome. They started a local church. As we preached last week, the news came back and he commended them. He wanted to see them so bad. Now he's writing this to the Romans. This is what I want us to take note of today. He said, I want you to know, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And I love this, to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You may be seated this morning. Our Father, thank you for the goodness of the day. Help me to stay true to the text. And I pray you'd deal with our hearts this morning. Thank you for the good Spirit of God that we've already been able to enjoy and experience in this place this morning. Thank you for each family that's come. Lord, in this Bible, the Bible that you left to us, you preached more on hell than you did heaven. And I pray now that you'd settle in the hearts of the lost person today. And I pray that you'd use me to be your vessel just a few minutes. I'm a needy preacher. I can't do this by myself. And I pray you'd help us in the Word of God this morning. And in Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. Paul said, for I am not ashamed. Why would he make this statement to a church that he's never visited, but yet he wanted to get there so bad? Paul had experienced an imprisonment at Philippi. He said, I've been locked up because of this book, this gospel. And I want to tell everybody I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He had been imprisoned in Philippi. He had been chased out of Thessalonica. They didn't like Paul. I've never understood. I do understand, but I don't like it. I don't know why people get upset at their preacher when he's reading out of the Bible. He didn't write the Bible. He's just reading out of the Bible. Thus saith the Lord. He was chased out of Thessalonica. He was smuggled out of Berea, Brother Jamie. Had to be carried out. He was mocked in Athens, standing up preaching the gospel. He was called a fool in Corinth. I was preaching a funeral one time in a local town. Family was unchurched. They called me to do the service. Brother David, I just simply preached the gospel. They were very upset because I preached the gospel. Preachers, if you're going to stand on this book, you're not going to get applause from everybody. But if you can lay down with the God of heaven who wrote this Bible at night, that's all that really matters. Called a fool in Corinth. stoned in Galatia. Now he's writing from Corinth with a pen. The Spirit of God is moving him. And he says, I want you all to know that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So there we see the proclamation that Paul made. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Turn to the right in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 15. I want to show you the proclamation of the gospel. We're going to turn to a few texts, take your pen out and underline some great passages this morning. I'll be brief in what I do. This proclamation, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which is which also you've received, and wherein you stand. Church, may we always stand on the truths of the gospel. Watch this, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory, if you let it go in heart, what I preached unto you, lest ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first, watch the gospel, of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins. Time out. He didn't have no sins, but he died for my sin. And your sin. He became a curse on the cross. Because your sin, my sin. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. But God put your sin and my sin on his son on the cross that had never known sin. But he died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. Sure, I'm glad the text didn't stop there. And he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now turn to the right with me. The book of Galatians, turn to the right. That's a couple of pages over. Chapter number 1, verse 6. Talking about this proclamation of the gospel. What is the gospel, preacher? Short, sweet, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But it has to do with the workings of God all the way from Genesis to Revelation. The gospel story. Galatians 1, watch 6. Somebody come into Galatia bringing in a false gospel, telling them they had to work to get to heaven. Well, if you can work good enough to get to heaven, how much work would it require? He's straightening them out. This is what he says. Galatians 1, verse number 6. He said, I marvel, I'm astounded that you're so soon removed from him that called ye into the grace of Christ, watch, unto another gospel. It's a lot of another gospels being preached around the world. There's one way to heaven. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. No other option. Paul said he prayed that all Israel would be saved. Jews will die and go to hell without Christ. We all will die and go to hell without Jesus. He said, the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7, proclamation, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said, therefore, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you've received him, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Every preacher in this building, every Christian in this building, if you stand for the gospel, you're going to have some adversaries. But if God's on your side, you're on the winning side. There's the proclamation of the text. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, we should be so thankful for the gospel. The good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. The proclamation, secondly in our text, in Romans 1, verse 16. It's going to preach out of this verse. Not only do we see Paul's proclamation, but now we see a person. He said in verse number 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of not of Buddha, not of Muhammad, but of Christ. The person of Christ. Liberty Baptist Church, may we always make much of Him. I'm thankful for everyone that will make up this assembly, but we don't deserve no praise. I know the Bible tells us that we are to respect those and we are to accredit those and take care of those and be appreciative of those. But honey, the only one that deserves praise is the Lord Jesus Christ. The proclamation, the person, Paul says in the book of Acts chapter 4, Brother Mike read it the other Wednesday night, Acts 4, watch this, underline it in your Bible, always remember this. Acts 4, 10, be it known unto you all, and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doeth this man stand here before you whole. God had healed a crippled man. Just want to know, how in the world did this man get up and walk? This is the stone which has set at naught of you builders, talking about Christ, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12, underline it. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The proclamation of the gospel. The person of the gospel. But thirdly, in verse 16 of Romans 1, we see the power of the gospel. This gospel is an amazing book. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It takes the gospel to save sinners. It takes the word of God to go out. Here we see again a proof text about the power. Turn to the right, 2 Corinthians 4. Paul was writing about the same subject. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look in verse number 3. This verse raised up in my heart last night as I was studying this text. Look what Paul says. You know why that we are involved in missions, sending the gospel around the world to areas? Here's a text. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look what he says. Verse 3. If our gospel be hid, how sad it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Oh, I sure am glad he is the image of God. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. You know, it's amazing about the impact of the gospel. It's amazing how God will shine light out of that book in very dark places. Some of you remember this story. A lady called me a few years ago, hadn't seen in many years, asked if I'd come to their home, walked in. Her husband was in a basement in a recliner. Hadn't seen him in years and years. This is what he said. He said, Brother Ken, he said, that Bible you used to bring on our fishing trips and lay on the nightstand in the motel, I've never got over that Bible. And I need to be saved. Would God save me? I said, He sure will. Don't let our gospel be hid. God, Mom and Daddies, has sent the gospel to save your babies, to save you, to save me. The power of the gospel. The gospel must be preached. And have patience with the preacher. I've heard folks make this silly statement. All our preacher preaches on is Jesus. How cray-cray that statement is. It's all about Jesus. Jesus should be the most high and lifted on this property. The power of the gospel. Look now in verse 6 of Romans 1 at the purpose of the gospel. I sure am glad this is included. The purpose of the gospel. Romans 1:16. Listen real good. I'm about finished. It's the power of God unto salvation. Salvation. The power of God unto salvation. The purpose is that people would be saved. What's that word mean? You've heard it a lot, saved. What's it mean? It means safety, preservation, and deliverance. It carries the idea of being rescued from all danger. Have you ever been saved? Has there ever been a time that the Spirit of God dealt with you and you responded to Him by faith? The purpose is to bring salvation. I like this in 1 Timothy 2, verse number 1. Matter of fact, one of the greatest texts that I've found, 1 Timothy 2, verse number 1, Paul is writing to his young preacher boy called Timothy. He's giving him some instructions, giving him a pathway to walk down. And this is what he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, supplication simply means needs or requests or lacks. Prayers or worship and adoration. So I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, your needs or requests or lacks, your prayers, adoration, and intercessions. That's for the benefits of others. Brother Lee, thank you for praying for me. Everybody that prays for me, Brother Randall, thank you for praying for me. Giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead, watch this, a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Watch this, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Watch. Who gave Himself a ransom for all. Now you die and go to hell in your sin, you'll go as an intruder because Christ paid to keep you out of there. What does this text verse really mean, Pastor? It means that there's one man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus, stands between God who is holy and sinners that are unholy. And when we come to Christ by faith, and we look to that finished work of the cross and believe, He'll reach a hold of God, reach a hold of me and you, bring us to God, and we can be born again. And our sins are gone. Thank the Lord for the gospel. Now, he's so dogmatic about this text, the proclamation of the gospel, the person of the gospel, the power of that gospel, the purpose to save. Look back in verse 16, the people of the gospel. Oh, this is so good. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God's salvation to everyone that believes. The people, everyone. And then look what he says. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Why would he make that statement? I want to clear it up and explain something to you real briefly. Acts 13:46. He came to his own and his own received him not. That's what the Bible said. Acts 13. Look at verse number 46 about the people, everyone, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I love to hear them Bible pages turning. Acts 13. Now, if the Lord, he says, Acts 13:46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, talking to Israel, the Jews. Watch, but seeing you put it from you and would have nothing to do with it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Jesus came to the nation of Israel. They are God's chosen people. But they all must be saved individually just like us. They must believe in Christ. Paul says, since you rejected the Redeemer, the Messiah, then we've turned to the Gentile race, oh Gentile dogs. Wouldn't that be terrible if we'd have never had a chance to be saved? But the love of God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, once you hear the gospel, you're never the same. The gospel will get in the car and go home with you. It'll lay down and get under the cover with you. Thank God for the gospel. Aren't you glad you heard the good news? You don't have to die and go to hell. By the way, this Bible says, He created hell for the devil and his angels, not for you and me. And He sent His Son that none of us would have to go there. For we're saved by grace through faith. There's the people of the gospel. Everyone. Christ died for everybody. He wants all men, women, boys, and girls to be saved. The people. Now, verse 16, closing the possession. He says, not only the people, but the possession is the power of God's salvation to everyone. Here it is, that believeth. Ongoing process. Believeth. I'm thankful one day that I believed out of my heart. And I'm still believing out of my heart. The gospel. The people, the possession, believeth. But the last note, the performance. Look what he says in verse 17. Very important. for talking about the gospel now, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, why would he insert verse 17 after 16? Why would the Spirit of God put that in our text in that format? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. What's he talking about? The gospel. Accepting Christ. He's going to reveal how that we receive righteousness. What's the word righteous mean? Simply means this: right with God. I'm glad I'm right with God through the work at Calvary's cross. The day that I believed in Christ, I was born again. Christ's righteousness was put on me. Nothing I've done. All He did. Now watch this text. I clarify it. Romans 3:20. Oh, what a powerful text. Romans 3:20. Y'all watch this. Always remember it and understand it, because you'd be surprised at the people that's preaching another gospel about works. Therefore, Paul says in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, it was perfect. It was 10 of them. The 10 commandments is perfect. And they're still perfect today. It still do us good to have them in the schoolhouses and the courtrooms. The law can become as a bridle. It helps us to live better. The law is a picture or mirror. It's a schoolmaster. It shows us just really how unrighteous we are, because there's nobody here can keep the law. The law can be a bridle. It can be a guide to live good, but there's nobody can live good enough to go to heaven. A lot of people believe that. I had a lot of my family in the past. They believed, Brother Landon, if you lived good enough, and when you died, if your goodness outweighed your bad, you get to go to heaven. That ain't the way it works. Because the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. Anybody ever surprised you how they treated you or did you? Shake your little Baptist head up and down. You know why? Because there's none good. No, not one. Put your faith in Him. He'll never let you down. Now watch what He says. Powerful text. One of the most powerful in the book. Here it is. Romans 3:20, by the deeds of the flesh therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified. That's a legal term. That's done in heaven. In other words, He declares you not guilty. Right now, if you've never been saved, you're guilty before God because of your sin. Of what happened all the way back to the garden from Adam, your forefather. Your bloodline goes all the way back to Adam at the beginnings of this Bible where he fell. He became a sinner. We've all inherited that bloodline. Oh, some of you may think you're better. But this Bible says there's none good. There shall no flesh be justified in sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, he said, I sent the law, the Ten Commandments, that you may look at it and to show really how vile you really are. Love my neighbor as myself. What you talking about? Man, some of y'all, if he crosses your landline, y'all call the sheriff. Verse 21, here it is. It links the whole text. Don't miss it. But now, thank God. Brother Brad, thank God that's there. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or revealed, being witnessed by the law of the prophets. even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. He's saying the only way you can become righteous is through Jesus Christ. Verse 23, for all have sinned. Miss Sherry, if you come, please, ma'am. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can I say something now to you as a pastor's heart? Folks that get saved, they get out and make a mistake. They come back to the church and some of y'all want to judge them. Why don't you judge yourself? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let Jesus be the judge. For without the righteousness of Christ, we'd all die and go to hell in our sin. For all have sinned and come short. Listen, y'all. I feel like Brother Tim today, and I'm just as honest with this church about it as I know how to be. I feel like that I have advanced further today than I was a year ago. But I've not arrived. I fall short every day. I have real good intentions. But sometimes I don't follow through on those intentions. We all fall short, don't we? Now here it is, and it sums it up. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or an appeasement to God through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You may be here this morning. I know the church is emptied and you've come and prayed. This is a special invitation for you this morning. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to take my chances. It ain't going to work out good for you. Why would God send you a preacher? Why would God, Brother David, go in men's hearts and call His men to preach? Brother Adam, why would God do that? We just mind our own business and God come on us. Brother Landon, why would God do that, son? Brother Connor, why? Brother Brian, why? Brother Tim, why? Because He wants the truth told. Because He loves sinners. And so if you'd believe in Christ, trust Him, repent of your sins. I still believe in repentance. Jesus said, unless you all repent, you shall all likewise perish. What is repentance? It's a change of mind and heart. No longer walking like this world walks, but you turn toward Christ, just doing the best you can, trusting Him, faith by faith, every day at a time. Have you arrived? No, but I can tell you one thing, I ain't where I used to be. Brother David, I've made a whole lot of mistakes. And you've been a good friend to me. A friend in the ministry, your family. Brother Mike, you've been a friend to me in the ministry. We're not perfect. But Jesus is. And this morning, if you'd come with just childlike faith, say, Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sin. I'm going to trust you and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to turn my back on that life I've been living that's led me to nowhere. And I'm going to trust you by faith. You may be here today young. You may be here old. Christ died for you. And I want to give this invitation if you step out by faith. I can't save you. If you'll come by faith to Christ, He will apply His righteousness upon your filthiness and forgive you of all your sin. Would you come this morning?